Beyond Us and Them, podcast on radicalization in the times of social polarization. Welcome in the podcast of Resilience Through Education for Democratic Citizenship Project that we shortly called REDE. My name is Filip Pazderski, and we continue to discuss how social polarization and radicalization threaten our democracies. Today we will look how we can counteract these anti-democratic tendencies, especially when they are happening online. And in this respect, we have with us today Rasha Najem. Hello.
Hello, Philip.
Thank you for being with us. Rasha Najem is a director of the Les Militants des Savoirs Association and the European Projects Coordinator at the Toulouse University. But also she's a member of UNESCO Chair in Prevention of Radicalization and a researcher in the field of measuring impact of prevention pedagogical tools. So this all really makes you a great person to be with us and to explain us actually how the radicalization is ongoing online, and probably even the most importantly, what we can do to counter it. But before we will start talking with that, I also would like to ask you maybe to explain to us, to tell a bit more about your association, because I assume not everybody knows you yet, but I'm sure more will be known after our discussion. So if you can tell a bit more about what you do and so on, it would be really great.
First of all, thank you, Philip, for inviting me to participate in this podcast. As you know, Les Militants des Savoirs is a partner of the RED project, and it's an association that aims to contribute to popular education and especially open up academic knowledge to the urgent needs of the population. This association was created 12 years ago, and we are actually a member of the Anna Lindh Foundation for Peace and Culture in the Mediterranean. We are also members of the UNESCO Chair in Prevention of Radicalization and Violent Extremism, La Ligue d'Enseignement, and other organizations. In response to the needs of society, we gradually develop tools and methods to prevent all forms of violence and radicalities, but in particular, violent extremism and radicalization. We are fulfilling our missions by elaborating training programs on preventing violence, such as violent extremism and radicalization, on by creating evaluation tools to measure the impact of pedagogical action of prevention. We also create educational tools in order to closely assist social and civil society actors. We organize intervention to disseminate our academic and basic knowledge and create resources and initiatives. We also promote active citizenship, both by sharing and acquiring knowledge through mutual civic exchanges. We work with at-risk youth and with professionals to promote the dissemination of knowledge and culture and to advocate peace and respect. We conduct workshops with the youth, for instance, such as counter-speech workshops. And we conduct intervention based on the values, in case of France, of the Republic, les valeurs républicaines, and active citizenship with secondary school students. And I believe that our mission is today not to tackle only one type of radicalization or one type of violence, but to tackle different type of violence by working with different partners, with different organization, institution, NGOs, and making of this a synergy to tackle this issue.
Okay, so it's quite a lot. Thank you very much. Maybe it would be also interesting if you can say a few words about the UNESCO chair on in prevention of radicalization, because I think it is also an interesting institution body, but also maybe not everybody knows it.
Okay, the UNESCO chair in prevention of radicalization is chair in Canada, and the goal and objective of this chair is to make researchers, create tools, gather experts, social workers, academics, in order to tackle the issue of violent extremism and radicalization. We organize under the auspice of the UNESCO chair the first seminars in Rabat, which is about the resilience of young people and women. The second one was in Grenada. These are kind of seminars where we're trying to engage youth and women and all kinds of minority or people at risk of violent extremism, and to gather all experts and different researcher, academic, and so on, to discuss dialogue about the needs that and the needs and the respond to these needs in order to tackle violent radicalization and extremism.
Okay, thank you very much. So after this kind of introduction, I wanted to get straight to our issue, to our topic. And yes, since in RADA project, we are working on countering violent radicalism and extremism as well. And you are an expert, and you already said that how many things we are doing with your association and with UNESCO chair on preventing radicalization, but also especially, as far as I know, preventing radicalization and extremism online. Therefore, I wanted to ask you how those tendencies, these phenomena, manifest themselves online, and why actually they are manifesting themselves online.
Philip, before explaining how they manifest themselves or the reason for their development, let's underline that there is no uniform definition of the terms radicalization. And in social sciences and humanities literature. But we can agree that radicalization is a process through which a person comes to support or be involved in extremist ideology. And in many cases, unfortunately, it can result in becoming drawn into terrorism. So concerning your question, let me start by saying that the reasons or causes of radicalization in general are diverse and different. It includes economic, psychological, social, political, historical, ideological conditions that provide both the driving forces and the environment that lead individuals or group to become radicalized. This, what we call the causal factors, can be external, such as the economic conditions, the cultural conditions, the political conditions, can be also social, like social identification, can be individual, like our personal experience, psychological characteristics. For instance, we have what we call motivational causes. This one of the example. The motivational causes are this actual, you know, grievance that people experience at a personal level, motivating them to become radicalized. So there is no one reason, one causes. There are many reasons and many causes. And also, there are several approaches to understand the causes of radicalization. One of these approach, for instance, is to focus on the risk factors that we call it push and pull factors. These factors that push or pull individual towards radicalization. I will give you an example of a push risk factors that include this emotional vulnerability, such anger or alienation, Or another push factor is the identification with victims of injustice, of religious persecution, of political repression, cultural discrimination. If I can give you so a poor risk factor that includes, for instance, this reward, psychological rewards for joining a radical group in the form of material gains, sense of belonging to a group, either a moral group or religious group, support, what we call camaraderie or friendship. So when it comes to online radicalization and what is, you are asking me about, it also refers to a process by which an individual is groomed through the online environment to come to support extremist or terrorist ideology. The process of online radicalization is broadly similar to the process of radicalization in general. That's why I explained in the beginning what is this process of radicalization, because it's similar, okay? Today, being online is part of people's life. We are all online, young, older people, everybody must, I will say in general, we are all online. So being online is not something exceptional, it becomes something general. However, the risk of internet and social media, or the risk of online, is that extremist group use the internet, and in particularly social media, to reach large audiences with the aim of finding people vulnerable to their idea and their grooming. Today, people are informed, influenced, manipulated, radicalized, recruited, and even drawn into terrorism through diverse online mechanisms and materials. I will give you an example, like the communication channels, social networks, chat rooms, video platforms, the propaganda video, the conspiracy video, video games, even games, extremist groups, web page, fake news, disinformation, articles, images, speeches. I mean, all that promote and encourage, in a way, violent extremism and radicalization. Internet and social media or online platform are also full of groups of people looking for support. Many people are going on the internet to look for support or for answers. And there are also those looking to exploit this. And they can easily join this group, offering them the support they need, the answers they need sometimes, friendship, belonging, in order to manipulate and control. That's why from an early age, people need to be equipped with the skills to understand the risk and danger of the digital world. Briefly and in general, violent radicalization, either online or offline, entails three main elements. The support of an extremist ideology that becomes like a cause to defend or a way of life, the belief of the use of violent means to promote this cause. I believe that in order to promote my cause, I will use violent means, and the merging of ideology and violent actions. So when we talk about online radicalization, it's a form of radicalization. The form is different, the mechanism is different, but the causes are similar to the offline radicalization. There is no big difference between both.
Okay, I see. So online mechanisms are other tools that are using our human condition, other like normal causes that are also outside online world, yeah, as well.
Sure, they are tools. There's a lot of mechanism, and it's easier to access. I mean, it's easier to internet is an open world in front of us. So to get access to information is easier through internet than anything else. So people in the beginning, maybe they don't have the intention to be radicalized, or they don't have this belief in extremism, the ideology, but looking for answers without verification and without putting into consideration the dangers of internet can lead, especially young people, and we also talk about young people, can lead young people in the process of radicalization and ending maybe by making violent actions or more, unfortunately, terrorism acts.
As we know, and you said it already as well, we are living in an online world, almost all of us, I mean, or many of us, majority of us. So we cannot do anything with that, and it will continue being like that. What we can do only, we can be prepared a bit more in order to be aware at least on these risks, dangers, or to prepare ourselves and especially prepare young people. So I wanted to ask you if you can recommend us something. Tell us what we can actually done, or what can be done, or in what way we can prepare ourselves, and especially young people. Yeah, as you said,
we don't only need to counter or to tackle violent radicalization and extremism. We also need to prevent radicalization. Prevention before tackling. And just let me start with the sentence of the written on the UNESCO website, saying that no one is born a violent extremist. They are made and fueled. And I believe personally in what we call a whole society approach to prevent and counter violent extremism. Action to be taken to prevent this issue or to tackle the issue of violent extremism can no longer be the responsibility of only security actors. An effective approach should be cooperative and inclusive, involving states, government entities, researchers, experts, civil societies, actors, NGOs, and so on. It's, as I said, a synergistic collaboration and partnership to combine the power of working together that is greater than the power achieved by working separately. So, in my opinion, today we cannot rely only on security actors in order to prevent radicalization or violent extremism, but it should be what we call a whole of society approach. So you are asking me what to do in order to prevent radicalization. There are many actions that can be taken, but let me focus on like three actions. Let's say that it all starts with education. We should offer and provide education program and pedagogical tools and methods that build young, and I insist on young people's resilience to violent extremism. Education through human rights, the rule of law, democracy, citizenship, cultural diversity, values such as tolerance, the le vivre ensemble, the living together, this is fundamental. And education should start as early as possible in formal and non-formal environment. Second point that we can also work on is the internet and social media. As I said, we are all living in two parallel worlds, a virtual world and a concrete world, but they are linked together. We cannot live in one world today. And violent extremism exists and flourishes in both worlds. And that's why there is a need to mobilize particularly youth, policymakers, media actors, educators, social work, to learn, understand, and take effective action, both online and offline, to prevent and respond to violent extremism on internet. The third point is the gender equality. All forms of discrimination based on gender are violations of human rights. We are all agree on this. And promoting gender equality is crucial, according to the researchers, is a crucial need in order to prevent violent extremism in a world where women make up half of the planet. And unfortunately, Philip, and according to the United Nations, no country in the world has yet achieved gender equality. As a result, gender equalities still requires strategic intervention at all levels of programming and policy making. This level, as I said, it's about educational empowerment, political empowerment, economic empowerment of women. So these are the three main, for me, action that we have to work on and we need to work on it.
Yes, thank you very much, and also for stressing so much the importance of working on gender equality as well. Yeah, I am aware about it, that my country is also not perfect in this respect, definitely, especially recently, we may say so. It's rather not getting better. But after you spoken about that in a bit more general way, I also wanted to ask you maybe for giving us a bit more concrete examples. Some examples of some really activities, I don't know, projects or maybe some either educational projects or projects from another areas that from your perspective are good examples of this good ways or how to prevent radicalization.
In our association, we have created, as I said, several offline and online tools and methods to prevent violent extremism and radicalization, such as we are aware today of the importance of internet. So we created online, tools. And I can give you an example, which is, for instance, the project, The Legend of District, Le Quartier des Légendes, which is a kind of web TV project. It's a game series in the form of a visual novel that offers young people to participate in a thematic investigation online by taking the place of one of five young people who must, in each episode, solve, seek solutions, learn about events, and so on. The episodes are centered on elements structuring the components of cyber violence and cyber stalking, for instance. Why this kind of methods? First of all, because today young people are completely into gaming on internet. And we found out that there's what we call the serious game. We found out that taking also this path to reach these young people is interesting. But in what way? We cannot give them just a very academic, non-interesting for them game, but it also should be adapted to their needs, to their needs as young, as youth. So we are using this kind of game, and as I said, it's a platform that aims to become a space, a cyberspace, useful for young people, for families, for educators. They can use it with the young people they are working with social actors and teacher. And the beneficiaries of such a tool are, as I said, young people from 14 to 18, but also their parents. They can share it with their parents and so on. This one of the other method that we use, it's the deconstruction of conspiracy theory. There's a link between conspiracy theory and radicalization or violent extremism. Some researchers said that it's sometimes the first step towards violent extremism and radicalization. And we found out that young people believe strongly in conspiracies. And this became stronger with the internet and the videos and the, as I said, video platforms and so on. So we decided to create a tool called a video with young people, Le Complot Nouille, Noodle Conspiracy, that aims to develop counter-discourse. It's a counter-discourse material so that the young people can understand the mechanism of the conspiracy videos and how we can make conspiracy videos. What is interesting that making this youth participating by themselves in creating a counter discourse tools is more effective and very, we have a very good feedback about this kind of methods, because by themselves they are creating this tool and understanding all the mechanisms. So it's a kind of strengthening their critical thinking skills, understanding and evaluate the information sources and identify the process involved in conspiracy theories. And also through, because we are working in the RED project, a handbook is published in the RED project with almost around 20 methods. We use some of these methods too in our work to discuss what is extremist, to be classified, what is the categories classified, when and why something is extremist to people, and what point something is violent and dangerous. All these kind of methods are effective methods that we tried, and we had also a good feedback concerning their use with young people or trainers or social workers.
Hey, sounds very very interesting. I would like to come back to this project activity related to producing the conspiracy video, because as I understand you, involved young people into creating a video that is actually pretending to be kind of like, I have to say that I've seen it. Yeah, so it's really great, and I can only recommend it to everyone. But and it's a video really showing, yeah, it is a part of like conspiracy theory, but at the same time, as I understand, young people, when being involved in producing it, they also could learn how these conspiracy theories are being created and how they are working, how they are influencing our way of thinking as well. Yeah, is it like that? And were you been actually able to observe that it's working, that really the understanding of these young people that were involved was changing as well?
Yes, we made an evaluation. Since we are working on the measure of impacts, we made an evaluation of this of the tools with these young people, and we found out that before there's a difference about their point of view on before and after. You know, like the now we are talking about COVID, and there are videos and information and so. Talking about that COVID was produced by some laboratories or in China or by the states or so on to reduce the number of people on the planet or to make a dictatorship, of sanitary dictatorship. And there are also so many people, many young people really believed on this because they have this information and they watch this kind of video. And this is what we call the infodemia or infodemia. And we find out that, for instance, before the conspiracy video, before producing this conspiracy video, they were defending the proof that were in the video, saying, but there are researchers, there are scientists who said so, look at the images, look at the secret revealed, and so on. So when we started to deconstruct this video and knowing the mechanism of and how to choose the, for instance, the music, the vocabulary used, the images, the secret that they don't want to tell, and everything. After that, they started. We evaluate that by asking interviews and so on, that they are taking into consideration all the elements that they have learned during this workshop or during this through this method. And now they are checking very well, and they know how it's like when you watch a movie for the first time and you say that, yes, it's true. But when there's a documentary on the movie and telling you the actor was wearing this and he was not that, now you have a clear vision about the movie. And the same about this because the image and the sound, you know, audiovisual tools is a very, very effective, but dangerous tools also.
Since we also describe this method in our handbook published in the Rode project, so if anybody is interested to see this video, there is a link as well to YouTube where you can find it. So I can maybe recommend it to go go and try it right there. Okay, so Russia, because we are also working on preparing people to work with counteracting radicalization, and yeah, and our handbook in Rada project can also be used in this respect. But I also wanted to ask you about your personal experience. What person that would like to become engaged in this work, or maybe would like to develop any project for young people, or maybe would like to work with other people working with young people, what they should remember about? What's the most important aspect that we should deal with and remember when preparing such a project, such activity?
Okay, when we are preparing such project, I believe that the most important thing in each project is to train the trainers. Training is one of the most important and fundamental step towards the prevention, if we talk about the prevention of radicalization and violent extremism. And it's a need, as we find out through our interviews, and you, Philippe, when we interviewed experts and social workers, there's a need for this training. So take into consideration whether it's a national project or a European project, we have also to give training and also tools. These are two important and fundamental elements in order to fight, in my case, I'm talking about violent extremism and radicalization. What should be done also, as I said, it's a kind of a synergy, sharing experience and knowledge from all kinds of people working on these issues. It's not only about academics, it's not only about experts, it's about social workers, educators, community representatives, families, NGOs, governments. I mean, all these have to be on one and in one synergy in order to prevent radicalization. What also that I as I said before, since we have various causes and factors of violent extremism and radicalization, all areas are important. All areas are important. I cannot say that there's a particular area that we can focus on, or all areas are important, but each one of us will work through his own knowledge, his own experience, his own area. As I'm working in the field of science of education and creating pedagogical tools or the measurement of impact, I would underline the importance of education. And when I talk about education, I would underline the importance of formal and non-formal educations. Not only formal education, not only education in schools, but an education extra school, what we call extra school activities, or in this organization that works with youth, all this kind of education. Our life is about education. Society educates us, family educates us, everything is education in our life. So we have to work on this two environments, formal and non-formal environment. And we have to equip the social workers, for instance, the educators and so on, with all the skills that they need, because there's a need, as we know, and unfortunately, it's not present in every country or in every community. This we don't respond to this need for everybody. I believe that answering your question, what should we learn about our project, of what should we do? I think that the RED project is give us this a good example, because not only RED, you know, that we are working on other projects like SIDAR, which is a continuity of RED also in a way, because they are working with some curricula and the different pedagogical tools and educational tools. I will add only one thing if you have time.
Of course.
I will add also the need of evaluation. We have to evaluate our tools. We have many tools. Let's say the truth. We have many projects, European or national projects. And we have created, many tools have been created, but there are less, we don't have enough evaluation of these tools. So we don't know exactly if the tools are working or not working. If they can be considered as best practices or not. So there's a need on a European level and on a national level to evaluate these tools, to measure their impact, so that we can offer after this best practices, methods to the people working on, in this case, on preventing radicalization. And also so that we can develop other tools in response to the needs of society. The needs of society are changing. What we used like 10 years ago, maybe we cannot use now. So all this is a kind of development and evaluation is very important because unfortunately in this field, in case of France, I will give you an example. We had people in the beginning, they said they were experts in the field and they had very negative impact because they didn't have the basic knowledge or the academic knowledge or the scientific knowledge or the experience of tackling this. Now we need to evaluate this.
Okay, I totally agree with you. And also thank you. When it comes to need for evaluation of our activities, and also thank you for mentioning about this need of creating broad coalitions of stakeholders to counteract this phenomena as well, and to prepare these stakeholders with establishing or like building their competences. Yeah, but at the end, maybe it may sound complicated, but I think also your experience and your example also shows that it is possible to do something and to bring some change to really concrete people as well. So thank you for that. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Philip. Yeah, we have to be positive and we have to be optimistic about this.